In the beginning, darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The true light, which gives light to everyone, came into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It is a light for the lost, the searching and the seeking. A light for the darkest valley. A light to drive out fear, even in the shadow of death. When we believe in the light, we become children of the light. It shines in us, through us. If we walk in the light, if we let it shine before others, we become a city on a hill. The light of the world. When we let His word light our path, others will follow. We become a beacon of hope to a world in darkness. Our lives reflect the glory of His resurrection. He makes us a light for the nations, so His salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let there be light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
So much scripture in that 2-minute video. They would have, it was beautifully woven in, and they would have been really hard pressed to flash up all the references for you. The video ends with a quote from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We talked last week about the sacrament of baptism and how it's the quintessential analogy for the Christian walk. It's the journey from darkness to light. Paul's verse is a beautiful reminder that there is no hope before Jesus. No hope. Nobody. I know that some of the desert fathers, their faith was credited to them as righteousness, but until Jesus came, there was no hope for anyone. Paul doesn't say that we were in the darkness. He says that we were darkness. That's hard, because to be darkness, that means there's no inner illumination, nor is there outer reflection. Everything that you are is just dark. But then Jesus came, and Scripture says that He made His home in the darkness so that His people and ultimately the world could finally be free of the darkness. Jesus is the light, and we are called to walk as children of light. It's very interesting what the Apostle Paul says. He says, walk as children. Walk as children walk. Not just the fact that we are children of God, but we are to walk as children walk, with trust and faith and just blind belief. I can tell my kid, tomorrow when you get up, the sky's going to be purple, and he'll say, "Why, Daddy?" And I'll say, "Because," and he'll say, "Okay, good night." And then in the morning when we wake up, he'll say, "Daddy, why isn't the sky purple?" Because he believed, because I said to him, when you get up tomorrow, the sky's going to be purple, that it was. He had no reason not to, because I said it to him. We're to walk as children of the light, with wonder, with submission, faith, and trust. We were the darkness, but Jesus' sacrifice makes us the light. Paul wrote these words when he talked about, once we were darkness, but now we are light. And Paul would know. If you know anything about his story, his story starts with a literal light. Literally, there's a light that blinded him, because apparently he had to be blinded before he could truly see. God took his sight so that when he gave it back to him, Paul would really be able to see. Paul was not only educated, but he was also very brilliant. And as much as I connect with the things that Paul teaches and says, I'm drawn to the words of a fisherman who was a kid probably on a lake with his brother and a couple of their partners. They had a fishing business together, and they were all there doing that when Jesus came and called him to become a disciple. History records that John was likely the youngest of Jesus' disciples, and it's John who has more to say about darkness and light than anybody else in the whole entire Scripture. He has more to say. John talks more about the darkness, the light, the transitions, the discrepancy between the two, more than anybody who ultimately submitted anything that we to what we now call as our Bible. We're going to land in Matthew chapter 5 today, so you can go ahead and go there. I have several other verses for you. We're going to land in Matthew chapter 5. It's Matthew who's going to kind of bring it all home for us, but it's John who's going to give us a roadmap today to what for me is an impossible truth. It is true, and it is so hard for me to believe that it is true. I'm going to flash some scriptures up here for you. You don't have to go there. If you want to, you can go with me, but I'm going to go through John, and then we'll end in Matthew. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is what John records. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's such a funny word there, that word comprehend, because it can be translated comprehend or overcome. It was almost like the darkness didn't understand and also couldn't do anything about it. There's not a great word for that original Hebrew expression. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand, couldn't do anything about, could not overcome it. Jesus came into the world, and the darkness was like, what? We need to do something about this. There's nothing we can do about this. He, Jesus, through whom, by whom, and for whom all things were created. He is the light. Because of him, we are the light. And I'll get there in just 1 minute. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend nor overcome it. A couple of chapters later, Jesus is having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a smart person. He's educated. He's intelligent. And Nicodemus wants to know who Jesus is and what he's doing. And they're having this conversation, and they're talking about what rebirth through the Spirit means. And Nicodemus is confused by that. And he's asking Jesus all of these questions. And Jesus says, I didn't come to judge the world. That it's in John chapter 3 where we find the famous passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And right after that he says, I didn't come to judge the world. The world has already judged itself by rejecting the truth. This is what he says, John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. The idea that Jesus didn't come to punish is a very powerful one if you can really begin to get what it is that he's saying here. I came to give you hope and give you light and give you life. It's your own choices which are your judgment. Think about that for a second. I know, Pastor Ben, I know. Isn't Jesus going to come back and there's going to be blood and all kinds of revelatory things? Isn't there going to be? Yes, absolutely. And Jesus is saying in this passage that the beginning of your judgment is the living out your own choices. Those who do evil don't love the light, and people don't come to the light who are afraid that they will be exposed. How powerful a motivator is fear? How many times in your life have you tried to hide something away from God? Or pretend like it didn't happen, or hope that maybe he wasn't paying attention when that occurred in your heart or in your mind. How challenging is it to live such an open life with the Lord that you, I mean, he reads you anyway, just so you know. Just so you know, if you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, everything that you've done, everywhere that you've been, with every person that you've been there and done that with, God knows. That, if I'm not careful, can make me physically nauseous. Because there was a time in my life when the choices that I made did not line up with who and what God is and wanted me to be. I absolutely was looking for the shadows every possible place because being in the light was too hard. But then Jesus says, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. The idea that you would be open to the truth and intentionally bring everything about you and who you are and what you do and everything in your life to the light, you become justified by God, having been wrought in God, as if God himself is backing up the choices that you make. I know these are some hard concepts, but stay with me because it's going to get even weirder and harder to believe. This is John chapter 8. Jesus is in the temple. He's in the temple teaching. Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light." Jesus came to bring the light. The darkness didn't understand the light. Men began to be drawn to the light while at the same time fighting the darkness within them, because the light does nothing but expose all of the challenges and all of the sinful choices and all of the ways that we are self-focused and all the ways that we depart from the truth when we think nobody is watching or we think we've got enough game to fool God. He is the light, also created the light, which is wild, created the light and is the light. All things were made through him and by him, which includes men. He came to bring the light to his darkened world because there was no light in the world. There was only law. And I know that the law is supposed to illuminate where we've come from and how we've gotten here, but there was no light in the law. The only light that the law shone on you was your own inability to be righteous before God. Jesus brings the light. And he says, if you come to the light and you bring yourself to the light, then you are backed up by God as if your very choices are wrought in him. If you just destroy fear, if you refuse fear and bring yourself to the light, then he says, anyone who follows me, because I am the light, will not be in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 12, this is the Passion Week before his crucifixion. His crucifixion is not many days away when he makes this statement. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. Verse 46, just a repetition. I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. He who was the light, who created the light, became the light for men, came down here so that darkness would have no choice but to be destroyed, gives every opportunity to every person to choose the light, to die to fear, to bring themselves to the light of his life and his salvation. Not just salvation in the future tense where we go to be alive with Jesus at the end of all things. That's incredibly important, and we can live very fruitful and very empowered lives knowing that at the end we're going to be okay. But it's not just about that. It's not just about living to die. It's about living dead here, dead to self, dead to entitlement, dead to ego, and alive to everything that Jesus represented and is for us. You can have life here and have it abundantly, he says. I came that they might have life and have it to the full, not just on the other side. He who is the light brought the light, was the light, gave the light, and said, if you walk in light, you will not be overcome by darkness. Then he says to the people most precious to him, and through them to us, you've only got the light for a little while longer. Walk in it. Walk in it, focus on it, bathe in it, get near it, mimic it, be like it so that you can become sons of light. You're not seeing it yet, I can tell. There's a transformation that is happening in you and already has happened. If you've accepted Jesus, a transformation that you may not understand has occurred in you. It's already happened. I understand. I get it. Sanctification, this idea of becoming more like Jesus and more like God, is a lifelong process. But I am telling you, because of what Matthew is about to tell us, that there is a process which has been wrought in you that you might not even have known took place. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, just the first half of that verse. 14a, that's how it works. 14b is the second half. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14a says, you are the light of the world. Sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good that you are light of the world? But there's a little bit of confusion because Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Did he not? Didn't you hear him say that? And he says that in more than one gospel. So did Matthew get it wrong? Did Matthew mishear? Did Matthew want that so bad? Like Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and Matthew was like, you're right, I am the light of the world, and that's what he wrote down? Is that what happened? You know how sometimes you hear somebody and you hear it wrong, and then it gets in your mind, and that's your truth forever? And then you come back later and you're like, those aren't the lyrics to that song. I've been singing that wrong for 15 years. Has that ever happened for you? So what is Matthew saying? What has happened here? He who was the light, who created the light, became the light, brought the light, gave the light, said, walk in the light, follow me, become sons of the light. You are the light. Now rewind all the way back to John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. If you're the light, you can't be overcome. You're not getting it. He who gave his life for you made you the light so that the darkness does not understand you and cannot take you out. You've become the light, and that's why he came. I'm not trying to dim Jesus. I'm not saying we replace him. That's not what happened at all. Through him and by his sacrifice, we become a light that the darkness cannot understand and cannot overcome. You're that light. And I don't know if you know that, but if you are living in defeat, it's a lie, it's a shadow, it's false. Step out of it, you can overcome. I don't care what circumstance, what situation, what issue. You don't have to live in darkness because you are the light. And you heard what John said. The one who practices the truth, follows the Savior, and believes in him becomes the light. These are not steps that Jesus says has to happen. He's saying, this is how it works. The one who practices it, that's all about your choices. The one who follows the rabbi, that's all about what you do day to day and how you function in your life. And the one who believes, that's all about here and here. You believe it, you follow him, you walk it, and you talk it, you're the light. Full stop. And the light that you've got, the light that you are, the darkness does not understand and cannot overcome. I hope in Jesus' name, I hope in the name of the one who died a messy, brutal, horrible death for you, that before you walk out of here, you will at least begin to grasp the concept of what it means that you are the light. And I could push back on this just as much as you probably can push back on it too, because not everything that I choose reflects that light. Not everything that I say shows the illumination of the Holy Spirit through me. I drive in traffic on 95. Not a Christian sometimes when that happens. I'm being honest with you. And I say that a lot because it's real. I'm working on that. I'm working hard. I don't have to live in any way that seems, feels, smells, or tastes like I've been overcome. I don't have to. It's my choice because I'm the light. He created it, became it, gave it, soaked us in it, then birthed us into it by the giving of his blood, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life. Now we are the light. You shine in the darkness. The darkness does not understand you, and the darkness cannot overcome you. But do you hear in that a continual struggle? The darkness can't overcome you, but the darkness gonna try. The darkness is going to keep up its shenanigans and its foolishness with the hope. I know this in my heart of hearts. If the enemy has one drive, if there's one singular attack that he is hoping to just plant in each and every person's heart, is that God is real and he doesn't care about you. That somehow you're too far gone, or you're too far away, or you don't deserve it, or you can't earn it. I believe that in my heart. There have been people who have lost all over the world who have come to the Lord. Jesus is still saving lives. There are still revolutions of faith happening everywhere. The harder it gets for people who love the Lord, the harder they love the Lord, and the more the church grows. Look in these countries where saying something about Jesus can get you locked up or killed. This light that you have, the enemy will attempt to snuff out if he can, but he can't because of what Jesus did. You're the light. Do you believe it? Can you at least start to begin to try to wrap your mind around that kind of truth? Because if you're the light, that means it doesn't matter what happens. Ugh. Really? Yeah. Wreck your car. You're still the light. The light not going to pay for a new car. No, the light may not. But you're the light, so it does not have to drag you down, break you, hurt you, cause you to doubt. Family challenges, monetary issues. I know I'm just kind of breezing past these. I'm throwing these things like, oh, like they're no big deal. I know that they're a big deal, but if you're the light, then the darkness can never overcome you. Not ever, no matter what the challenge. He gave his life so that you could be light. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna choose? Father, I pray that this truth would become as real for me. I feel it in this moment. I feel that it's real, but I know tomorrow is coming. I know that Monday is coming and Tuesday comes after that, and then the week will be gone, and then the month will be gone, and then I'll be in 2020. I pray, God, that this truth, that I am the light, not by any way that I have earned it, not by any means, not by any self-imputed worth or value. Jesus, you came and you gave your light so that I might have it. And by dying, you birthed me into the light. I am a son of the light. My light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it or overtake it or overcome it. Help me to stand on that truth, that impossible truth. And I pray for each and every person here that we would begin to stand on that, that we would not allow fear to keep us out of the light, that we would follow you, that we would walk in you, that we would believe in you, because you have made us the light. I pray, God, that the lights that you have created us to be would shine in this darkness. And I pray that the darkness, while it cannot overcome it, I pray that there would be people in this darkness who would be drawn to this light, not to us, but to you within us. I pray, Father, you would use us to sow seeds of light into the lives of the people around us. I pray that we would not just walk the walk and talk the talk, but that we would believe to the place where we would be willing to risk anything in order to be the light, in order to be who you created us to be. Give us strength and encouragement, God. I pray that you would help us see this thing that you have wrought within us, this change. We were dark, but now we are light. I thank you, God, for your sacrifice. Forgiving Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for being willing to walk all the way to the cross that I might be the light. Bless us, God, and help us to be a blessing to you in all that we are and all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.